many families have turned to video conferencing apps like Zoom and Skype to keep in touch with their loved ones during the coronavirus pandemic. Reporter Eric Douglas brings us a story about how you can use that online chatter to serve a higher purpose, to capture family oral histories.
We left off. You were living in Davis Creek, and you were probably about middle or junior high.
We were about 9 or 10 when I moved over there.
Okay. What do you remember about that period?
Like I say, I made a note, we thought we were in the country. We thought we were out in the middle of nowhere.
That's actually my mom, Lois Douglas. I recorded that in person. She's been staying with me since the pandemic took off. To pass the time, I've been having her recount some of her earlier memories.
By then, I had been working at Purity Baking Company. You know, they baked the bread there, they made the cakes there, and everything else. It came down the conveyor line, the breads were hot, and you had to get a flat box and put a loaf of bread in it and carry it that way. If you tried to carry it in your hand, it smushed down to nothing.
Mom was talking about her first job after high school graduation. But this got me thinking that a lot of people could be doing the same thing remotely. Before I ever got started working in radio, I recorded more than 150 oral histories with everyone from family members to World War II veterans. At its simplest, an oral history is a recording of memories. Stan Bumgardner is the editor of Golden Seal magazine. He says oral histories have a way of capturing people's emotions that are attached to a memory.
If it was an important event in your life, you certainly remember how it made you feel. You remember how it affected the people around you, and that's from, you know, good to awful to funny to tragic.
If you are using software like Zoom or FaceTime to keep in touch with family, there's no reason you can't record the conversation. As long as everyone agrees, of course. In fact, a lot of video and audio chat options allow you to record directly through the program. Just try asking a few simple, open-ended questions, says Francine Kirk. She's the interim director at the Frank and Jane Gabor West Virginia Folklife Center in Fairmont. She says if you want to know more or need clarification on what they're telling you, try repeating the last couple words.
So when my grandmother said, I sat there in all those wet underwear, I said, wet underwear? And you just make it sound like a question. And then she launched on what she wore to school.
But aside from having those memories and voices recorded, Kirk thinks there's another benefit.
Well, I think it's about figuring out who you are and why you are who you are.
For Bumgardner, oral histories are great at capturing sensory experiences.
People can remember their grandmother baking an apple pie, and they don't have the recipe for it, and they have no clue how to make it themselves, but they know exactly 50 years later what it smelled like when it was baking and how it tasted and how it made them feel when they ate it.
When recording an oral history, the best thing you can do as a listener is to be quiet, Bumgardner says.
And especially with elderly people, sometimes they'll kind of, you know, they'll have to fumble around for a memory for a few minutes, and you just want to jump in and help them, and all you're doing is kind of shutting them up.
Once you record those family stories, you'll have them forever. The sound of your loved one's voice is just a click away. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Eric Douglas in Charleston.